You know what? Also, the way he scalped them, I've scalped many people before. It's back to front. You can't do it like that.
Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was heads or tails.
I have to say, I get to thank the show for finally getting to hear my Arnold Schwarzenegger voice. And finding out that it's not that bad.
It's not that bad.
it's not as horrible as I thought it was.
It's all right. It's all right.
Yeah. I've practiced. Yeah, yours is pretty good. Mine is horrible.
I don't think I've heard you do an impression that is actually good.
No, I don't. There's horrible.
All right. All right, everybody.
Sure,
with the beers cracked and the cheers to episode... What are we on now?
12.
We made it to 12?
12, question mark.
12, yeah, question mark.
We always seem so surprised that we actually made it to an episode.
Project a little bit.
I'll project my foot in your ass.
Please, the mic's
I haven't even drank yet. Oh, the mics are back-to-back now? Why do we have this here for? Is this just a table?
That's so that when you set down your drink...
We can pick it up on the microphone.
No, it picks up less than the microphone. Because
oh,
it's not thumping.
It. Really?
There you go.
Yep. You don't have to be...
Let's test.
Yeah, this is...
All right.
There we go.
Coming through loud and clear. Oh, shit. Well, I've got a fucking throat thing going on, so my voice is going to crack left and right. I'm going to drown it with beer. But, yeah, so episode 12, after episode 11 and episode 11.5, the fiasco.
Is that what we're just going to refer to it as from now on, the fiasco?
It definitely was a fiasco, man. Holy shit, like, the latter half of it was just like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. You could tell that we were drinking strong beers that night. Thank you, Stone Brewing Company.
Thank you. Thank you again.
Are off on the wrong
look.
Foot.
Look!
What
did we even do? What did we even do?
What did we even do? No, no, just, I'm trying to talk through this fucked up voice, and we'll see how that goes.
Aren't you the host?
I am, sort of, I guess.
Do we have a host? Is this a dictatorship?
No, I think it's...
This is a cheerocracy.
A cheerocracy. So we all watched, well, at least we all watched the new remake of Maniac. Some of us watched both of them, some of us didn't.
Yes. I think some of us is you.
So,
some of us didn't know there were two.
Oh.
Some of us were one
you.
Of one.
I figured if I could get you to watch one.
Good job.
Like, you have to twist my arm to watch people killing other people.
Good
like,
job informing
not...
our guests of the,
Oh, yeah, introductions. We should probably get to that.
I wasn't even
cleanest,
referring to that, but yeah.
Cleanest segue of all time.
Wasn't that really good?
That was really
good.
That was
really,
we're
really
starting
good.
Off strong.
All
right.
We haven't had the beer yet. That's what the problem is, the awkwardness and the...
We need to, yeah, we need to have a beer
we
first.
We need to lubricate.
Okay, to my right?
I'm on the right.
You are on the right.
Yeah. He's sitting kind of sideways.
I am. I'm sitting
there
sideways.
You go.
No,
well,
I'm sitting
that's
sideways.
Well, all right, well, I'm Matt, not sitting sideways enough, Smith.
I'm Michael, Obnoxious Laughter Camacho.
Special guest?
Aubrey, Obnoxious Laughter 2.
Damn it. Yeah, for anybody listening who knows who Aubrey is, that's my cousin.
Yep.
Or doesn't, rather.
Just read.
I caught some shit the other day, because I guess we gave, in our last episode, we gave Amanda some props, and we didn't say shit about Aubrey, and I felt really bad, so I was like, hey, come on to the episode.
So I'll, just sit there quietly.
I'll make up for it.
One of us reps us on social media, Aubrey.
That's true.
You and shit.
She really does. Yeah. So yeah, we're going to review, well, we're going to have Matt and Mikey talk about the original Maniac and sort of talk about the differences and what they liked and disliked. But let's talk about, you want to talk about the new one first or?
Let's do this.
There's nothing else we got. Just
I don't
straight
think so,
in.
Man.
Do you guys
George,
know where we're
going to help? George's brain is kind of melting from the new baby right now.
It's
I
new
think.
Baby
new
fucking
baby
cold. Fucking now the beer is going to be poured on top of that, so. Well,
that's awesome.
We're just going to be meandering. Through bullshit. What did you have anything
that,
you wanted to
there
chat
was
about?
That game I sent you guys, No More Room in Hell, that it's a free game on Steam. It's a co-op Oh, zombie. Yeah. That link you gave me. Yeah. Hmm. Okay, well, anyways, there's a free co-op zombie survival game on Steam, and you can play up to, like, 16 players, and it would have been fun to talk about the game. I've not been the only one prepared.
So, I do have a couple interesting things about it.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. In the game, you can actually kill zombie children. Mm. I don't know if you mm-hmm. heard about this.
I did.
But,
I'm a big fan of killing children in things.
Okay, good, good.
Oh, okay. I said in things.
In things.
Like warehouses and cribs. And
like boxes and cabinets and shit like that. Yeah, I guess the creators had caught some flack for having killable children zombies in their game. But they had an AMA on Reddit or some sort of thing on Reddit where the creators basically said, hey, that's the game we created. You know, deal with it. And kill some children, and they gained a lot of respect from people for not cowering down. Mm-hmm. Which, I don't. How does that fucking game make money? Because it's a mod of Half-Life 2, right?
Well, yeah, but I'm sure you know. Just once it garners attention, it's good for the people or the company who made the game, and it will, you know, help them sell other games in the future and selling advertising and. Convention slots and stuff like that, and then they can always do DLC and promotion packs. And if there's one thing we've learned about video games in the last few years, is that you can nickel and dime everything.
Microtransaction us to death.
Exactly.
Did you play it at all?
I haven't. I was waiting for you guys to jump on with me. But the cool thing with the killing children was that they said...
That's the cool thing about killing children.
Well, no. In the game was they said that's what it's going to be like. If there's really an outbreak, you're not just going to be able to... It's moral choices. They didn't want to make you feel good because that's not a game you're supposed to feel good about.
Right, right.
You know, and so...
That's good that it's not just like a shock tactic. Like, it's actually... Like, although it is shocking, it's... I mean, if you were, in a zombie survival situation, you'd have to kill anything that came your way. That was the threat.
And I thought that was really cool that they just said, tough shit, man. Deal with it. You didn't make the game. We did. If you don't like it, don't play it.
Right, right, right. Yeah, and that's actually really cool. Actually, speaking of video games, so Call of Duty came out yesterday or the day before.
I don't know. I saw there's Geeks Line.
The only reason I'm going to bring it up is because... Because
it has ghosts in the title?
No. So, World at War, which was not Infinity Ward, but Treyarch. You know how they created that zombie mode?
Right.
Well, now, the creators of the new one, Ghost, whatever the fuck it's called, sort of shoehorn this shitty, like, aliens version of the zombie mode into their game. It's really fun. Like, I'm looking at it, I'm like, you fucking assholes.
They jumped the shark, two games ago.
They should have done a Ghostbusters mode, where you get to dress like Peter Venkman and put on a fucking proton.
Now, that would be the shit.
I would buy the shit out of a Call of Duty game.
Call of Duty Rise of Zool.
Right?
I'd be all over that.
That would be pretty fucking amazing.
Not really.
I don't know, I'd be into it.
They had a Ghostbusters game that was pretty decent.
Yeah, I played it.
Xbox 360. Yeah.
It was 360.
I'm not sure. Yes, it was 360. Probably $10 at GameStop now. It's a good game.
Oh yeah.
If you traded it in, you'd get like 50 cents.
Yeah. For that.
Fucking GameStop. Asshole.
Speaking of creepy.
Oh, wow.
Matt Smith.
What did I do? Oh, I'm supposed to read stuff now?
Just pass me a beer first.
Oh, yeah, edify us on... on Maniac Old first.
Okay, Maniac Old was a...
Maniac Old.
1980s movie written by William Lustig, or directed by William Lustig and written by Joe Spinell, who also developed the story and was the lead character, Frank Zito. It's about... a really disgusting, fat, greasy guy who was tormented by his prostitute mother and hasn't ever been able to have real relationships with women, and stalks and kills them and cuts their scalps and puts them on mannequins because he believes his mother's telling him to do so.
Excellent, excellent.
And we're done.
Is that
a summary? Did I just do a summary?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty
cool.
I've been working on that.
You've been working on it?
They taught me how to do that in school in 10th grade.
But it never worked.
So in the old one, it's a fat guy?
Mm-hmm.
Frank Zito's a pretty disgusting motherfucker. He's definitely a total greaseball.
You know, I really hope he has stopped listening to our podcast, but he totally looks like Danny, Amigo the Devil. He looks so much...
No edit.
I'm not saying Danny's a morose motherfucker, but like... his face, like the features, the eyes, the mouth, and it looks a lot like Danny. And I couldn't take the movie as seriously the second time watching it, or like watching it recently.
You're saying is Danny is a sexy Ron Jeremy looking motherfucker.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. I'm with that.
George, go right there on the right.
This one.
Top. Yeah, that one. Tell me they don't look like Danny.
Both of them.
So,
please, for our listeners, let's look at this picture.
Throughout the, we can maybe post that.
That is sex.
Yeah, you should post
that
it.
That is sex.
So, throughout
That's
the movie.
That's strenuous looking.
He's passing a kid. I'm going down on the record and saying it looks nothing like Danny, but that's just me.
It looks like Ron Jeremy passing a kidney stone.
Okay. Yeah, it looks like Ron Jeremy's melting, is what it looks like.
I appreciate Danny way too much to...
So, the original movie was really low budget. It actually only had a budget of $350,000.
Which is not terrible. I mean, for 1980 low-budget horror movie.
But since it was so low-budget, they couldn't actually get city permits, so a lot of the movie was filmed guerrilla style.
Nice.
Like, you haven't seen it, so you wouldn't know, but you've seen it, right?
Hmm?
Okay, there's the infamous shotgun scene where Tom Savini and some chick are, like, making out in the backseat of the car, and she sees Frank Zito, and she freaks out, and she's like, hey, we need to go. So they get into the front, and Tom Savini starts the car, the headlights come on, and you see Frank Zito in front of the car, at which point he jumps on the hood, takes one knee, and in slow motion, double-barrel shotgun right to his face, point-blank range.
Right. And it's an absolutely brilliant gore scene. Like, the special effects shot is beautiful. And to anybody who doesn't know who's listening, Tom Savini is legendary in special effects makeup in the horror business.
Special effects god.
And he this is, I think, before, this is after, definitely after Dawn of the Dead, right?
Right.
So, but he was still not really well-known, and he was in the film, and got to build his own little model of his head.
Well, no, he was in the film because he already had a bust of his head made.
Oh, he had already made that.
It was lower budget. So what he did was he took a bunch of like leftover stuff from lunch and stuffed it in the head. And that's why it gets the explosion effect. And when they did that shotgun scene, immediately after they did it, one take, Savini took the head, threw it in the trunk of his friend's car who was waiting, and they sped off so they wouldn't get caught by the cops for shooting a shotgun through the window.
Wow.
And they shot an actual shotgun at this model of the head, and it just looks like he built it so intricately. You see, like, fake brain matter and
skull fragments. Yeah, the guy's brilliant.
And I mean, if you've ever seen Dawn of the Dead, he plays Sex Machine, the guy with the revolver for a cock.
Dawn to Dust.
Dust to Dawn. So you might recognize him there, but the original Maniac, aside from the gore effects, is
one of the creepiest
films I've ever seen. The performance of the character, the guy who plays Frank Zito, is brilliant, absolutely fucking brilliant, super creepy, and a real it paints a real believable picture of a sociopathic serial killer.
Wow,
like it is one of the only horror films that I've seen that was not only really scary but absolutely believable in a psychological sense, not a supernatural sense.
Gotcha.
Right, very much. And that shotgun scene was one of the most really what the fuck moments I've seen in so many movies.
If you haven't seen it, I guarantee you when you watch it, you'll rewind and watch it time and time again. You'll watch it over and over because it's unbelievable, the shotgun scene. And if you have seen it, you know you've already hit rewind on it because it's just fucking crazy.
And if you don't want to watch the entire movie, around the 30-minute mark.
Now I feel really shitty for not having watched it. But
you can make it right.
The amount of time I have to watch movies
these
days.
I have lots of time to watch movies.
She has plenty of time.
Now she knows that it exists.
You ruined her experience.
Did I, though? Because now she'll be able to watch the original and...
Actually, it's probably better to see the 2012 version first, because it's probably not... okay.
We'll get to it. Plot-wise, are the two movies similar?
They're thematically very similar, where you have the man who's kind of emotionally and physically impotent because of his whore mother... Who exposed him to
which is a classic horror theme.
It is.
Right.
Absolutely.
But she would bring like men home to have sex while he was in the room watching, and she would take him along to turn tricks, like go fuck random dudes. He would have to like wait in the car, and there was times where he would come out and see it happen.
Gotcha, gotcha.
So in the original, they definitely go further into that and what it's done to him psychologically than in the new film, where it's just kind of like glazed over.
Yeah,
so, he actually has a shrine to his mother.
So we can do we want to quick shift over to the new one?
Yeah, the new one.
Then we can start doing little comparisons. Yeah. Well, so it's exactly what you said. Same description, or rather, your summary. It's the exact same thing, but it's updated. And
you didn't know who you were pointing to when you said.
I know.
Yeah,
that's
no idea.
Sorry, I was pointing to. I pointed to Mikey first.
The only big difference from the beginning is that in the 2012, it was made in 2012, released in 2013. But for argument's sake, it was in 2012. But the 2012 version, Frank Zito owns his family's mannequin store,
which
in LA, but in the original, they're in New York, and you don't know why Frank Zito has these mannequins. There's no explanation as to why he has these mannequins, other than they're representations of people, and he puts the hair on them.
Which actually I think is a little bit better than what we were presented with in the 2012 version, because I first off, can I tell you, the dialogue that happens between the girls after he sees them in that little dance, she's fucking...
Oh, in the studio?
It was the fucking least believable fucking dialogue and delivery I've ever seen in a fucking movie.
Have you ever seen two... in a movie, I was going to say, have you ever seen Two Broke Girls?
Like, I swear to God, so I'm sitting there and I'm watching this movie and I'm giving it a shot because that opening scene was fucking incredible where the guy...
Yeah.
Frank fucking...
That was very good, yeah. Where he's stalking a woman that exits a nightclub and catches her at her apartment and comes to an untimely...
And the way he stabs her was fucking cool.
That
was
pretty
don't
amazing.
Say anything, you're beautiful, straight through the mandible. Bah!
And that was probably the closest to the what the fuck moment in this movie.
Yeah.
There's one later.
I'm very excited that I'm not actually supposed to have liked the 2012 version because I tried really, really hard to like it.
You didn't like it?
I did not like it.
Okay.
Here's,
wow.
Did you like it?
I liked it.
Okay, good. I'm not alone.
I
thought I was going to be fucking off three of y'all.
No. Here's the thing.
Also,
because,
it's me and you?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
That's
because
a strange turn of events.
When Jorge was texting me about being on the show, what initially I texted him about was you guys mentioned in one of the last episodes having Alia on here and having two girls tear apart what you guys thought was
the
perfect...
I love that a guest can reference our episode.
No, it's just because she's so...
Let's just give it up right now.
She's got great recall, ladies and gentlemen.
We've got a great podcast.
She hasn't smoked herself retarded just yet.
Not yet. But so, I thought that the movie that he had given to me was supposed to be like the end all be all, your guys' most favorite horror movie.
Next episode.
That's where my brain was at. And so I was expecting this crazy mind fuck of a movie. And while it was creepy, I have seen worse things.
Oh, right.
It's true.
Now that I know that that's not the expectation for it, I can sit and...
Then I must have misled. I must have fucking misled you because that was my fault.
That's just what my brain was when I was watching it. I can reanalyze.
We never actually, aside from the thing, we've never actually said we really like this movie. Let's do this movie.
Right.
It's always been like, hey, this is coming out. Let's do that.
Yeah,
and then
it's
like, fuck, we have to find something to say about this.
Yeah. Good or bad or otherwise.
Honestly, I'm kind of feeling that way about this one.
Okay.
We'll get to how I feel about it.
It opens strongly. It opens really strongly. Yeah. You have that initial scene where by the way, it's Elijah Wood who is the replacement killer
Frank
Zito.
So,
which I don't.
And you don't see for a while into the film.
But that's because
I feel like that.
That's because the entire film is from the killer's point of view.
Not the entire film, though.
There is one moment where they go out of it.
See, that's the...
There's about 90%.
Mikey's raising his hand.
He's raising my hand. Okay, so when you start the film in the first place, you don't even realize that you're really in the point of view of Elijah Wood's character, Frank Zito. It kind of takes a moment for you to even understand that's what's going on. And It's very eerie in the opening scene.
Yeah.
It is, as you see a woman killed from the murderer's point of view, it opens very powerfully with that. And then when the film starts from there on, it's like, maniac, boom, and blazing across the screen. And I'm like, cool, I wonder what this is going to be like after this. And then still, the film continues on in a first-person point of view for a vast majority of it.
Yeah.
There's only bits and pieces where it's not, and the only time you see Elijah Wood's face is in
mirror
flashbacks and in the mirror.
No, there's one spot where the camera pans around and it's after he's killed one of the girls. And
it's
a mirror.
It's still a mirror.
No, it's not.
No, they pull out as well.
They pull out. It's mm-hmm. it's because I paid.
You can see him from behind, yeah. From the back of his head.
No. It was around and it was a face view.
Oh, the other time, yeah.
Yeah.
At the end, towards the end.
The one where he's sitting there just staring, he's just breathing?
No, he's crouched over on the ground. And it pulls around, and I think it's in the parking lot.
Okay, right. Wait, the girl he stalks after the dance thing.
Yeah.
Okay, that scene right there. So he scalps a girl in a parking lot, and then it's a shot, it's the reflection of him in a car is what it is. And that shot is meant to mimic the cover of the original Psycho.
Right.
Or not Psycho, Maniac.
Yeah.
It's him standing there with the scalp and the knife in his hand. And it's
there were a couple tributes that I appreciate.
There was.
In this movie.
Oh, like at the very... See, you guys wouldn't get this because you haven't seen the original. But there's a scene very early on. Frank joins a dating website. Mm-hmm. And he meets this girl, Lucy. And when he finally meets up with Lucy, Lucy says, "You're nothing like I expected you to look like." And Frank says, "What did you expect? Long black hair, greasy hair, a face full of acne, fat." She describes Frank Zito from the original.
That's awesome.
That makes a lot of
sense.
So that's awesome. it pays homage, or homage, as we say.
Homage.
To the original.
As we say.
It's homage, okay?
It's awesome.
Three pronunciations. Great.
Okay,
homage. All right,
anyone
guys.
Get,
English
like,
studies. Hashtag.
Get like brain hijacked when they played the song from
Goodbye Horses.
Yes.
Goodbye Horses.
Oh, that was awesome.
That was
awesome.
Okay.
But all of a sudden, I couldn't see her face. It was just Buffalo Bill dancing in front of him.
I had the same thing. It took
fuck
me completely
me?
Out of the film.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for her to pull a dick out, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like, Goodbye Horses.
She was attractive, and then all of a sudden, she was a tranny. Like, that's how it went.
Matt is motioning right now to tell George that he's not the one that brought up dick. For the first time in his life, he was not the one to bring up
penis.
He's celebrating it.
Penis.
Which shows how much of a momentous occasion it is that I'm the one that brought
that, that second kill scene was...
Which one was the second one?
The second one was
the
chicken killed
her
in her apartment.
She
strangled her to death.
She was cute, but she had tiny boobs.
And but that's fine. Hey. Says you. I mean,
says you.
Yeah.
And
but
that
kind of
and cheesy fake tattoos.
Well,
that's the worst
of shitty tattoos.
See, but that confused me a bit about what time this is supposed to take place.
That, I like that it's ambiguous because you can never nail it down.
Because with her tattoos and her lip ring, I'm guessing it's at least mid to late 90s and on. So granted, it could be within the last 20 years.
So the film definitely takes place in the internet age because the online dating thing. And everything.
Right.
But they definitely don't really go any further. I mean, the introductory scene, the woman is carrying a cell phone. You can't really see how modern it is, but it's definitely, I would say the film definitely takes place.
Oh, you know what? I'm an idiot.
It
totally
dates
itself.
It's not like
I'm a dummy.
Then on the
in the
2000s. The projections of the faces.
But I mean, that technology's been around for a long time, though.
But the...
Technology,
like I saw that, but I saw the Apple.
There was definitely an iPhone because
there
was a definite iPhone ringtone. That I forget. This fucking movie dates itself, and now I feel like an idiot.
Diarrhea of the mouth, and then
diarrhea of the mouth.
Yes.
Diarrhea.
I heard diarrhea.
Diarrhea.
I heard Arnold Schwarzenegger say
diarrhea
on the mouth.
We're good. So he ends up, you see right in the introductory scene of the film, he kills this woman and proceeds to scalp her, and then Frank Zito, who owns a mannequin store, apparently who's been passed down through his family, which is what he does is he takes the scalps of his victims and puts them on mannequins that he has there in the mannequin store where he lives. Shut down mannequin store, by the way, not open.
Yeah.
And
isn't it, though?
No. I think he only opens because he sees the photographer. I don't think he.
Let's let Mikey finish his point here because I have things to say.
So apparently the mannequins, the scalps are the trophy of his kill, but he attaches them to the mannequins and then proceeds to fantasize that these mannequins are alive.
Right.
And it's how he's able to like capture them, these people forever and keep them for himself. And that's the basic premise of, you know, why he kills.
I think that's because he never had his mother's love and attention, and she was always coming and going.
They really, if you watch the original, you know that. But watching the new film, they never really nail that in exactly why he does what he does.
It's very unclear.
It's really unclear as to whether the mom's a prostitute or if she's just a slut.
Right,
because you never really get any sort of like, oh, okay, there's a transaction happening. You just see the mom fucking random dudes.
Well, see, and in the original, he kills a couple prostitutes, and it makes it seem like
he kills prostitutes and fornicators.
And he actually kills a couple men in the first one.
Yeah, he does.
There's one guy he kills in the remake, but that's more of a self-defense kind of thing.
Yeah, it's incidental.
Yeah.
But I found it really interesting that, Tom Savini, for one, in the original, that he killed men. And I don't know if that was him lashing out against his mother's Johns as well.
Right. It absolutely was.
Yeah, that makes sense.
My biggest gripe I have with this fucking film. Biggest fucking thing. Okay. So, he coincidentally owns a mannequin store.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Where he takes vintage mannequins.
Where he takes vintage mannequins them. And restores yes. them, presumably to sell to who the fuck knows.
Right.
Chic boutiques.
Okay, sure, sure. I'm following you. Then, with his storefront gate halfway open, there's a girl taking photos of the interior of a building without flash, have you?
No, the flash went off.
Did it?
It pissed me right the fuck off.
Okay. Well, and I knew
I fucking hate flash.
I knew this was going to get you because, And she's taking these pictures, and then he proceeds to open said gate. Then they have this conversation where all of a sudden she takes photos of mannequins.
That's what she does. That's her thing.
And it didn't really look like that was what was in her portfolio.
No, that was nothing she had in her portfolio.
And how is she taking pictures of the mannequins when the gate was like seriously open 3 feet? She was taking pictures of mannequins' feet for Quentin Tarantino.
It's basically impossible to take the pictures of the mannequins from the direction she was doing because she had the flash down. With the reflection.
And that's why when I was watching this movie, I'm like, Aubrey's gonna fucking have a fit right now.
I will agree. I've taken pictures of mannequins. They're interesting. They're human-like, but they're things, and it's just really cool. So I've done it. You can't... The grate was down. You're gonna see just legs. She was using the flash, so it was gonna bounce off. You know how there's those ghost pictures where there's a floating thing? Right. Yeah, it's just the reflection of the flash. We completely fell.
You know what? Also, the way he scalped them, I've scalped many people before. It's back to front. You can't do it like that.
No, you gotta actually yank that hair.
So technically, this film.
Well, it's actually when you're having sex. You don't want to yank from like the outside of the hair. You want to grab the next to the skin.
George, don't talk about our personal time.
I pull it up like a ponytail in the back.
No, I grab scalp. I grab scalp.
Face down into the pillow so they stop.
Yank on his beard until. Wait.
It's not that yankable.
I told you I don't like when you do that.
No, I found it so goddamn infuriating that it was like, now we're forced to be okay with the rest of this plot because...
Yeah.
Well, see, and well, the mannequins play a much bigger plot, like part of the plot in this. They have nothing to do in the original, and in this, she takes pictures of the mannequins and she wants to use them in her art show.
Which brings up one of my big gripes about the film. That they're just trying to connect all the dots. It's a problem with a bunch of remakes when they're like, we're going to do this film, but I want to write my own version of it. And then it has to hit these certain points that the original hit, and it's forced.
It's like the new Carrie. It's exactly like the new fucking Carrie.
There's not a whole lot
of changes to necessitate a remake. All they do is make little tweaks to kind of modernize it. But the Carrie remake was absolute garbage. Because
this film is so much different in style from the original.
It is. It's a lot... Well, see, I feel like with Elijah Wood, since he is a more... I don't want to say normal-looking person, but he's...
That's why I couldn't...
But that's the thing, is you always depict the psychopath as the fat, greasy, sweaty guy, and it's not always
that. Elijah Wood.
Ryan Gosling looks like a goddamn sociopath. That guy looks like a murdering fuck, and he doesn't look like Frank Zito 1980.
You know what? One of my biggest... One of my other biggest gripes about this
You've got plenty of biggest.
As a fan of the original... I was like, okay, the original is driven by the performance of the lead actor whose name eludes me. Matt, bring out your notes.
It's Joe... Oh, I switched.
So anyway, he
Joe Spinell.
Joe Spinell, who also wrote the screenplay and everything, as you had said.
Right. And he was actually going to do a sequel to it, but he died 2 months before it was actually supposed to happen.
Heart attack.
And it was going to be about like a...
Cardiac arrest.
I don't know what he died of.
Diabetes.
But it was going to be about a television clown who killed the abusive parents of his children viewers.
Mm-hmm. So... The original film is driven mostly by the amazing performance of Joe Spinell. He's super creepy. And when I heard that they were making the remake and that it was with Elijah Wood, I was really excited because after seeing him in Sin City...
He was fucking creepy.
Get
Out. Yeah.
But my gripe isn't with Elijah Wood so much as the style of filmmaking, which... So like we said earlier, the film was made mostly from a first-person perspective. And I feel that it robbed the actor of his ability to act because... Mm-hmm. Elijah Wood isn't who I choose to be a great voice actor and show a lot of range. And he has the ability to be exceptionally creepy, but without being able to show him and have him emote properly, I feel like it was a waste.
I don't feel that's what that was about. I don't feel it was about... I think since it was from the first person, you don't get that fear of where's the killer at, where is he hiding. You know, you are the killer. You're with the killer the whole time, and there's nothing you can do about it. And he doesn't want to kill. Like, it makes him sick. Like, physically sick. He vomits when he kills. And I think...
No.
He's schizophrenic, right? At least once.
Yes.
He's schizophrenic and he has migraines.
But the migraines are an excuse. He's trying
to
take medication to prevent this. He clearly doesn't want to do it. He feels like he's being possessed by his mother, but being the
he doesn't always want
to. No, he definitely doesn't. In fact,
he does, not possessed by his mother, but
he hears her voice.
In fact, the girl who he fucking cuts her Achilles tendon, he practically orgasms when he fucking pulls off her scalp.
That kill was a lot more gruesome than the rest of them. It seemed a lot more.
That was the only one I liked.
it seemed a lot more like emotion driven, like anger. Like he looked,
which was separate than everything else that he
but
did
that,
because it wasn't like when he was killing, it wasn't because he was mad at any of these people. It was something he had to do.
He was compelled to.
Yeah,
that one he took pleasure in. But that's the thing. The character, once again, I don't want to compare this film solely to the original. I want to view it on its own merits as well. But he, you know, it was this rage that he had pent up against his mother for I don't know why I'm looking at you, George. Just,
yeah.
Because he's the rage. On the birthday episode, he said, fuck my mother. That's why.
But it was this release for him to kill these people.
In case she's listening.
So you think that it would be, you know, it's kind of odd to have that mix where there's this one that you see that he takes great pleasure in, which is one of the only scenes, like we mentioned, that departs from the... first-person perspective.
Right.
Which is also... It's creepy and it's powerful when you see how he reacts to the kill. Whereas the rest of the film, you're kind of, you know, separated from that. You're not able to see how he emotes. And I think that the first-person view works very effectively a few times in the film and would have been great to utilize in the film.
Yeah.
But being tied down to it, I feel like, once again, they were just trying to, like... They had these things they wanted to do and these points they wanted to hit, and it made a lot of it feel forced.
Yeah.
Here's the thing I feel about that first person perspective thing. My biggest gripe with it, with anything else in this movie, it's funny because I really like the movie,
well,
but
like usually,
I have tons of shit I could talk, which is, you know,
because
whatever.
We're all giant fucking nerds.
I feel like if they were gonna do the first person perspective, commit to it, and don't give us this half-assed, like, we get some scenes where it's not first-person perspective, where all of a sudden we're seeing it from, you know, like, third-person fucking Gears of War perspective. Like,
over the shoulder.
Yeah, like, if it had been first-person the whole film, it probably would have gripped me a little bit better.
Yeah.
But given that it's it takes you out of it every so often. Yeah. And I'm like, well, then it was just a gimmick.
And yeah, absolutely a gimmick. And the occasional, like, how many fucking mirrors do you run into on a daily basis, Elijah Wood? Like, I saw, yeah, like...
I have two in this
and,
house.
And also, the it was... If you're going to do it, you have to do it well. And there are moments where I don't want to be, like, a total Nazi about it, but things weren't lining up. Like, oh, I'm looking at myself in the mirror again for the 38th time in this film. Yeah. But it's at a strange angle. It's like, if you're going to do it, make the shot work. Yeah. And there were times that the first-person shots didn't work.
Yeah. Speaking of the first-person shots and making it work... He actually had to have, like, a hand stunt double.
I thought you were, like, pointing over there. So we're like, what are we looking at?
Money Waters?
Speaking of Money Waters.
he had a hand stunt double because they couldn't get the...
The angle right?
Huh? Yeah, they couldn't get the angle right. So Elijah Wood would be the right hand and some other guy would be the left hand.
So,
and
so when he so went to splash the water on his face and went towards the camera, I was just like...
If that is not
the same person... You can't do that.
A lot of the shots didn't match. He looks in the mirror, he cocks his head to the side, the timing didn't match up.
Well, see, so, some of the... I thought the hand thing was really cool because you have to... Like, there's a part where he swings a baseball bat and he has... Both of those hands had to coordinate together to do that. And, like, handing things off back and forth, they said it was, like, a lot like choreography. But my favorite part was where... Two dudes' hands were groping Lucy's boobs. I'm like, I wonder how Lucy feels having this camera zoomed in on her chest with Elijah Wood groping her right boobie and some random dude groping her left boobie. Like,
she feels like she just got money by getting her tits grabbed by Frodo Baggins, and that is a good day.
I would do that any
tiny day. Hands, Frodo Baggins.
Yep. Oh, yeah, nail biter, Elijah Wood.
But speaking that chick Lucy, when he actually when he choked her to death, I really liked that they put the bruises on her neck.
That was a nice touch.
They didn't do that in the original, and I thought it was a really nice touch. I'm like, wow, that's a nice attention to detail.
Can I inquire why the fuck does he scrub his hands with a goddamn Brillo pad? It hurt my
face
every time I saw him.
I will say this, that we see his hands fucked up, like, in the sort of beginning of the film, and then we kind of see why. I dug that. Like, it gave me a little
fighting somebody. When I first saw him.
Right. It could have been anything.
Does he feel unclean? Is it just
the thing. So there's that scene where he walks into the room and there's fucking flies on all of his scalps. And he's got those two mannequins sort of laid out lesbian style.
Yeah. Which was he's got lipstick on his face.
And you know what? That played out so comical, it was hard not to laugh.
Yeah.
Like, the film fell somewhere between, like, great comedic timing and, like, creepy horror, you know? Like... Yeah.
See, the thing that bugged me about him scrubbing his hands so hard with the Brillo pad is he had no qualms about leaving his vomit on the floor in Lucy's apartment and not...
Right! I thought the same thing.
How are you... His fingerprints are on her throat. Like, you are not cleaning up after yourself, and yet you're going to go scrub yourself with the Brillo pad so your skin...
But I think it was more of a psychological issue.
Yeah, it's... By the way,
if that was something you were going to do, like... I would obsess about not leaving behind any DNA. Like, I'm like, ew, it's dirty, let me clean it. Like,
yeah.
If that's going to be your obsession, that's going to be your fucking obsession. Like,
right, because didn't he wipe off the toilet seat or something?
He did, but he left it on the fucking floor.
Stupid.
not stupid.
Wiping his fingerprints.
You know what? This is serious business here, right?
No, it's major.
We're trying to get away with murder here, alright?
Whoever was the fucking sound designer on the hand scrubbing portion, paid no attention to what the fuck sound a Brillo pad makes. Like, none, dude. It sounds like if you take, like, two fucking paper towels and
on human skin.
Yeah, it's like, what the fuck? But I digress because I love the film.
And I feel like his...
I did
really enjoy it.
I liked it. I liked it a lot.
I like that Elijah Wood kind of had this innocence to him, and he...
It seemed
like he was being corrupted, like he was really being tortured and haunted by what happened to him at a younger age. In the original, it just kind of felt like he hated women, you know, not like it was something he couldn't control. There's even points where Elijah Wood says... did you have to be with them all? You know, like, this way you'll never leave me. He's really kind of... I mean, even in this one, you said he didn't really... Well, it didn't pound home the fact that his mom was a prostitute.
Right.
But he is clearly really shaken up by what happened with his mother. He sees these flashbacks. He even has a mannequin of himself as a child.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And at one point he says, don't worry, I'll get her back. I know it's been a long time. Like, right. He wants his mom.
A couple of times he speaks in two voices. He's basically having dialogue with himself as a child.
Right.
Yeah.
Which also is something that in the original film is done to great effect.
And did you pick up when... Well, Anna, the photographer woman who becomes his obsession, when she was actually in the store wanting to like buy the mannequins, she wanted to rent them at first. He said, I want to find them permanent homes. And she said, well, I'll adopt them. I could be a good mother.
Yeah.
And I think that's part
of what drove his obsession.
She said, I can be a good mother.
Yeah.
Which,
and he's like, Mama!
Which then...
Oh no, that wasn't his mama.
He proceeds to give her mannequins that look nothing like the ones he has in his store at all.
Well, he's fixed them for her.
But, I mean, he has a pretty extensive mannequin workshop.
Right. He happens to have like 8 mannequins.
I mean, obviously,
with no faces.
A huge profit.
Well,
I just imagined
what he did was he kind of, you know, because you see him, there's a mannequin who has a hole in the boob and he completely reconstructs it.
Yeah,
so I imagine maybe
Speaking
what he
of
did.
Boobs, I'm surprised you haven't mentioned the. The amount of sheer boobing in
this
movie.
It's like 15 minutes are up.
That's because there's a girl I'm not married to here. I don't want to seem like a complete creep. Like,
well, you are a complete creep.
I've already mentioned
boobs.
Like, how is that?
So this, it definitely...
There's lots of boobs and they're all so good.
There we go. Do you feel better now?
Yes, Lucy's boobs were spectacular. You can call them small, but they were so
awesome.
The boobs were very high in this movie.
Big butts and B cups.
Yes, sir. Cheers. It's a way of life, okay?
I like it. I like it.
We'll put that on the business card. Who Goes There podcast? Big butts and B cups.
And the Who Goes There to you.
Had to get it in there. So when are we going to talk about the battery?
No, shut up. So
54 minutes and 3 seconds. Big
George,
time edit.
What's your big gripe with Anna? Is it the shitty French accent?
It's the character.
Wait, is it
dude?
Really
it's
a shitty French accent because this was a French remake.
And as
I was being shitty because I hate it.
And as if it wasn't fucking French enough, he goes, is that French? You have a good ear. It's like, what the fuck?
Have you seen my baguette?
It's like I came into the movie wanting to really like it, and I did. I liked it to an extent, but there's only so much bullshit your brain can deal before you're just like,
Yeah. So.
So
the movie progresses.
So.
presumably, this fucking no talent photographer
has a show,
and not only a show, but a fucking manager. She's got a fucking manager who, like, who the fuck manages mannequin photo girl? Who the fuck is
that? That is somebody's job.
If you look at her,
a grandma's boobs we didn't see.
We did see her ass.
We got to see granny ass. She got in the bathtub, and since we brought up boobs, I was like, okay, this film has consistently shown us breasts every 15 minutes. I was like, ooh, grandma getting naked.
Grandma tits.
Some granny tits.
I thought we were going to see some grandma bush.
Some slippy tits.
Some slippy tits.
I thought we were going to see a little barber.
A little shout out to you. But... But I will say that scene with her manager was definitely one of the creepier scenes.
Okay, so let's rewind a little bit and talk about the manager scene, because it's actually one of the better scenes in the movie.
Well, even before that, at the show, she had ridiculed him.
Well, right. So that's what I'm saying. Let's go back a little bit. So Frank runs into Anna's boyfriend. And
who's
like,
this big black guy? Apparently, some musician. Like, because she said he's such a musician type.
And then it goes, they're so self-centered.
They're so pompous.
Yeah, some bullshit like that. Get out of here. Yeah, he meets the boyfriend, and obviously her boyfriend's got to be some homophobe asshole who's like, her friends are all gay, and blah, blah, blah.
Plays with dolls.
Yeah, it's... No, the manager says that.
Yeah.
The manager says the plays with dolls.
Oh, right.
So he runs into the boyfriend in the bathroom, whatever. It's a throwaway scene. But he runs then into her manager, and the manager just fucking lays into him.
Well, she's drunk. She's clearly drunk.
She's sauced. She knows that he's the guy who provided the mannequins, and just proceeds to kind of lambast him and tease him, like, oh, I'm sure, like, you must have played with dolls as a kid, blah, blah, blah. Just totally emasculating him.
And my favorite part where she goes, yeah, I've got a friend who destroys, like, everyday objects. You should hook up.
Useless shit or something.
Yeah.
I know an artist who destroys useless shit. I'm sure he'd love to smash up some of your mannequins.
And, like, at that point, you were like, oh, she's dead.
Yeah, you dumb bitch.
You fucked up. That's why you never talk shit about the creepy guy. Ever.
Yep.
Bring him candy.
And then he proceeds to follow her home 3 blocks away from the studio, conveniently, or the art space.
Yeah.
And then she goes into her like high rise fucking condo building. He follows her in. The security guard happens to wander out at the same time.
Yeah.
He nabs the security guard's keys, which
he doesn't take his keys. He doesn't take his keys though, right? Like he doesn't like I'm a security
no,
guard.
I'm a security guy.
Maybe I should keep my keys with me.
The security guy goes out front to
leaves
greet other guests.
Desk, which apparently has every key in the entire building.
And you see
that there's security cameras all over the fucking building. And he walks in, grabs
the
set of keys.
Key to the entire building is the longest key there. Because he just pulls out the longest key from the middle and that's
totally guesses. Here's something that bothered the fuck out of me. He did not follow her directly. He went up in an elevator to floor 19 or something to go there. How did he even know which apartment she was
in? The only thing I can think of is if there's like a directory at the front desk.
Which they did not bother to show.
Or he saw her name on the buzzer outside, or he actually... Well, I was going to say he could have seen her on the security
camera. There's no buzzer. There's a doorman.
That's true.
This is a very ritzy place.
We're making huge leaps to make
sense. Right, we're trying to fill
this place.
It doesn't make any sense. This film, which was, in my mind, partially obsessed with connecting dots, failed to connect so many of them.
Yeah.
And this is just one of those little examples.
Well, it was trying too hard to connect external dots and it forgot about the fucking plot.
Right, absolutely.
And, you know, shit like that. Shit like that.
Shit like that.
Like plot, son.
So,
also, I'm just going to gripe all fucking day about this film. I don't give a shit. So we're in L.A. He follows this girl home on the fucking train, right? On the metro, some kind of subway system, which I've never seen in L.A.
You gotta say that you're switching.
This is out of sequence. I'm just bitching at random.
Well, bitch in a second. Let's finish the...
Yeah, let's finish the scene.
I got plenty of bitching to do. Let's go.
So this scene is fucking cool.
She's in the tub with a towel over her eyes, just relaxing, drinking wine. And he's just staring there.
Like I do every night.
Right? Listening to Ave Maria. And he,
what an odd choice to...
Right?
No, that's the actual song.
Is that the actual song?
That's what she was saying.
Uncultured swine.
Oh, no, I know Ave Maria.
Apparently you don't, because that's what it is.
You know, I'm going to Carlos it right here.
Is that Maria from the block?
And say that I was half listening...
You walked away for like 10 minutes.
Yeah, I walked away for like 10 minutes in the middle of the movie.
But to be fair, I'm pretty sure
that's that Maria from Three Doors Down, right?
No. Actually, I was watching on my phone like for 20 minutes, and I maybe not caught the sound. So that may have been the problem.
So George liked this movie because he half watched it.
No, I fully watched it. Whether or not I listened to it is a whole other thing.
So I
may have missed out on a lot of sound design.
He's standing tubside creeping, and she takes off her, towel.
No, you gotta talk about it.
You can't skip it.
So he sneaks into her apartment, like you said. She's in the bathroom. It's such a small touch, but it's one of the best parts of the entire film.
She goes.
He goes and sits down on the edge of the, or he's next to the tub.
Oh, the wine
glass. She does a mask. She's listening to music. She reaches out for her wine glass, which is on the edge of the tub, and he just puts his hand on the bottom of it and
it slides it over to her.
And she picks it up, and that is just fucking terrifying. The thought of us not knowing that there's somebody there assisting you in that.
I gotta wonder though.
No, I didn't like that part. Because I was just kind of like, that what the creepy. Fuck, really? You can barely feel the bottom rim.
And all of a sudden,
it's like, it's out of my reach. Here's the stem, yeah. Like,
she's in the zone, man. Ave Maria's blasting. She's probably got like some kind of vibrating toy down there. The top.
Was it actually blasting?
It was pretty loud.
It will be quiet.
She wants to be engulfed by the music in the bathroom.
Exactly.
She just
wants to feel it. She just wants to feel it.
Yeah, maybe she thought she had the force, you know, and she's like, sucked that cup right up.
Yeah, of course, she puts it down just... Okay, and she puts it down right within her reach, so it's like, why would the glass be out of your reach if you've been sitting
down? If she would have set it down when she just got in the bathroom.
That sounds absurd, like, because I keep my alcohol as close as I possibly can.
Well, not
so
everyone
I don't believe
is an alcoholic.
Are you a middle-aged art manager, Matt?
Aren't I?
Well,
aren't you?
But go on.
What I do outside this podcast.
So now to the rest
of the story, please.
So she takes off her towel or her the washcloth on her eyes and sees Frank Rizzo.
Puts his hand over her crotch for a while
just
over the water.
Yeah, and you were almost kind of like, is she gonna be into this all of a sudden? Is old Granny gonna be like, all right, Frankie?
And you assume she dies, and I've never heard anybody pass out from drowning.
They do that twice in this movie, and it's fucking infuriating.
Do they, hold them underwater?
No, where they presumably kill somebody, but it's like, haha, just kidding. But we'll get to that.
Okay, so, yeah, and then you think she's dead, but then you see her hogtied and gagged on the bed.
So then we're led to believe that he resuscitated her.
Mm-hmm. Right, apparently.
I guess.
I
just pictured that.
If you're suffocated to unconsciousness,
how would that work?
Then you don't be resuscitated. If you drown, you must be resuscitated. Is this? Do we have an EMT in the building?
I don't.
Negative.
The building being the room.
Yeah.
So, then it gets really fucking creepy, and he addresses this hog-tied, naked older woman as his mother.
Yeah, he essentially projects his mom onto her.
Right. And without getting like too much into the dialogue, he gets really creepy, cuts up her back and cuddles with her bleeding back, and then scalps her as she's alive.
And this was fucking nuts. Boom. because not did he just scalp her, but like he really did was sort of cut at the front and then
ripped it.
Yep.
He didn't, like, you know, do
as
a
he's
saw.
Like, you will not go gruesome. Out tonight. You will listen to...
Yeah, it was... That was fucking...
That was pretty nuts. That in the first kill of the movie where the kind of, mm-hmm. like, ooh, that's some spicy meatballs.
And, you know, maybe part of the reason I didn't like it was expectations, because the original film is, like, the creepy levels are dialed to 11. Like, it is just severely creepy and disturbing. And this one...
It's more...
The 2012 version is gruesome. Extremely gruesome. Like, a lot of the scalping, like just the violence in the film is the strongest part of it.
Yeah,
it's the first film wasn't such a violent film as much as it was like a window into the pathos of a sociopathic killer. So maybe expectations have to do with my disappointment.
Well, they definitely 2012'd it up. Like, it wasn't just like right. it wasn't. Yeah. It's not a very subtle film.
It is a film from.
It was pretty stylistic.
Well. Yeah.
Yeah.
But actually, the music, I gotta say, I love
the music.
The music
was fantastic.
It reminded me a
good
lot
soundtrack.
Of John Carpenter. Like,
for sure.
Very.
And that was another thing. Like, that was another little thing that didn't quite date it. Like, the music somehow felt a little bit 80s, a little bit 90s.
It definitely had like a retro feel, like something you'd get in a George Romero film or like some like old, like 70s Italian horror, but with a modern tinge to it. It sounded like the Drive soundtrack met up with. Like a Dario Argento soundtrack at the same time.
Exactly. And there's a part where
an electronic element that
like
made it sound fresh.
Argento did with Goblin. Like in all his...
Well, and Goblin did... Dawn of the Dead.
I can remember things.
Like Mikey was saying with the retro feel, there's even a part in the movie where they're watching the cabinet of Dr. Caligari. And
which is the most referenced horror film of all time, being the first horror film.
Right. And they were watching that, and so it actually, with that being a movie from like the 30s, and a lot of the music sounding like it could have been from the 70s, it's really hard to place the time and date that it actually happened.
No, it's not.
Well, you have to actually look for little things.
They,
you know,
pay
like,
tribute to things, to like old horror films. There's many horror films. The horror is one of the most cannibalistic genres there is.
Of course.
They're constantly just cutting and pasting.
But what they do that dated as being something recent, other than an iPhone ring that I would have never recognized.
But still, she's carrying a cell phone, like even the style of clothing. I'm sure if you looked at the cars that they were modern vehicles, I didn't even pay attention because I knew from the beginning that it was a modern film. It just seemed, it reeked of modernism. It's a film shot in the 2000s, or meant to be placed in the 2000s, for sure.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
Okay.
It's not a very important part of the film, so
yeah, it's a throwaway.
There's not very many modern things in it because it's just moot, you know, but it's definitely a modern film.
So, how did you guys feel about like the climax and the
I laughed so hard.
Ending of
yeah, that was pretty cringy.
Really?
Yeah.
Which part?
I started criticizing instantaneously.
Because
I loved when he fucked up Anna's neighbor. That shit had
yeah,
been,
so,
that had
yeah, so
dying.
The I guess what you would call the climax of the film happens in Anna's apartment where she kind of figures out like that he's a fucking
which when
serial
she
pieces
it together, I didn't buy that for a
no,
fucking second.
That's
it's like
so
you're
right.
reaching so far.
She's
like,
so distraught and she's picking out these really minute things
yeah.
that he's saying.
He mentions that her agent lived nearby to the studio and she freaks out about that. And he covers it up very well by saying I offered her a ride, and she told me where she lived. And she completely goes apeshit, like, oh my god, you killed her.
And
yeah.
even before that, when she's leaving
wait,
the
wait,
art
no,
show...
Wait, no, that's not the detail that she picks
no,
up.
No, it is.
Yeah, it is.
Because she's... Because, okay, when she's leaving...
No,
she's leaving the art show, you hear her say, it's okay, I live nearby, I don't need a cab, I'll just walk. And then later, after she's dead, he says... Oh, you know, she only lived 3 blocks away.
Yeah.
But, you know, she knew the risk. Why would she be walking alone at night? And then that's
she says the
see...
other three girls. No, see,
no,
that's not what she
that,
picks
but
up
see
on.
The
before
spark
you
of
see
recognition
it.
In her
yeah.
eyes.
I don't think so.
No, yeah, that's when
because
I thought.
That,
okay.
Because he even... He
fuck
even,
me then.
Says the guy watched it on his phone.
What? He even says to her...
I watched it.
You did.
No. It was 10 minutes on my phone.
He even says to her... I asked her if she needed a ride. She told me where she lived. That's what you were wondering, right? Because she looks really quizzical. Like, wait, how did you know where she lived? Because
he did mention in the same, almost in the same breath, that she like something about the other three girls, blah blah blah. Because
but he
everybody
says
knows
three girls. He says the other girls, and that's
other
what
girls.
I didn't fucking
but,
get. That's what pissed me off. Because I'm like, wait, it's been all over the news, and there's been people. Being
it's on the front
killed.
Of the
yeah.
newspaper in one of the scenes. Like one of the guys reading a newspaper, it says serial killer.
Yeah,
like
and why she would have picked up on that is silly.
Yeah, the police
yeah.
didn't say anything about other girls. Well, bitch, people are being scalped everywhere.
Yeah.
She was just fucking scalped.
Yeah.
So the fact that it says on the cover of the newspaper that they think that there's a serial killer, so serial killer suspected, is a headline
yeah.
on the front page of the paper.
Yeah.
When he's stalking his second kill.
So it's totally unbelievable. The third kill by that point, I think.
Is it?
So, but anyways, it's totally unbelievable that she would connect those dots.
Where he's doing the fucking serial killer montage?
No, the montage. There's a girl
that's
in the dance studio.
Kill. That's before his second kill. The dance studio girl is the second kill.
She's the second kill.
Right. And so the serial killer montage was right before that.
One of my tiniest little
serial killer montage new band name. I called it.
That's gonna be my new podcast.
I'll stick with
name.
Mouse Rat.
Mouse Rat.
One of the gripes that I have that really fucking irritated me was this. I guess it was the second or third kill. The girl that came from the dance studio, where he chased her into the parking lot. The kill was amazing. The entire chase, a completely
this is
empty.
What I was gonna talk about earlier.
Completely. I don't think it is, but completely empty LA City Metro, which nobody takes the LA Metro because it's shit anyway. So that's believable. But when she gets into the little locked-in parking lot, there's clearly a guy standing across the street
yeah.
in the first shot. It's like, that guy's just standing there, and he's clearly looking at her when she's screaming and running, somebody help me! And he's looking, and he's like, huh. But then he's gone. It's
yeah.
like they said, oh shit, get that guy.
And,
okay.
and they show residential buildings all around there, and that parking lot is fully stocked with fucking cars.
Cars
while he's
everywhere.
Dicking around with her in the parking
hey,
lot.
Why didn't she just hit a fucking car that had an alarm
on it? I'm not sure if you picked up on this, but... So...
Aliens teleported him out of there.
This girl can...
Oh yes, jump! Why can't she jump over the fucking fence?
Look.
She can fucking like.
She's so strong.
She can dangle off of one leg, off of a fucking rope in the middle of a room.
She does that. Yeah, curved acrobatics.
Yeah, it's a 6 foot tall fence with the tines curved outwards, and she can't be like, "I'm gonna kick off my heels real quick, hop over."
You know how much those heels cost?
No, even when she makes it back over to the other side and she sees that he's closed the door, why can't she just pull the fucking stick out of the
way? Because he locked her from the inside!
She was on the inside! She was on the inside! What the fuck? Why couldn't she? She deserved to die! Because she couldn't figure out how to get out. She earned her death!
This woman was 6 feet fucking tall. You see her naked. She is athletic as fuck. She's an aerial acrobatic artist, whatever the fuck. And she cannot jump a fence to get away from a serial killer.
She can't open a gate.
She's running around this parking lot in heels.
Help me!
She's literally doing this.
Yeah.
George is waving his hands in the hair. Above his head.
But she's not... clip-clopping like somebody in heels trying to run would do. She runs like a skilled prostitute.
Take your fucking heels off.
But then, after like 30 seconds of screaming, Elijah Wood hides under a car and she's like, cool, he must be gone. Let me just run right back to where he just was.
And she gets fucking Achille tendon.
The kill, survival of the fittest.
I wasn't gonna do it. I'm like, you gotta... What are you doing? She's standing there. It took way too long. That was an awesome shot because the kill was great. He cut the tendon and her ankle crumpled.
So everything leading up to the kill, I'm like, not really totally believable. But then the actual kill itself was nice. Once again, like the artist, the manager and her were probably the two best kills in the film for me.
Yeah. Well, the first girl, I like the first girl.
Yeah,
that was cool.
Don't scream your beautiful knife through the soft palate.
The mandible.
And we're not listening.
Yeah.
He gave you one rule.
There's a lot of...
Would he have not killed her if she didn't scream?
Forgive my activity, it's because you're beautiful. Hey, girl, I know you're waiting for a cab, but I just pinched your ass, but you're so beautiful, I just had to scare you.
Okay, so that douchebag in the beginning of the film is totally believable as an L.A. douchebag.
Oh yeah. No, 100%.
He's believable as an anywhere douchebag.
Yeah.
But okay, question. Why is the limo outside of a liquor store in LA?
Have you ever been to LA?
No, I have.
Look, here's
they're high class limos.
That's a nice ass
high class limos.
There are some janky ass limos that you could have believable outside a liquor store, which wasn't even fucking open.
Here's the thing. The whole fucking ambiance of the film was trying to be New York. It was trying so hard to be fucking New York, and it's just like, it's clearly LA. It's clearly fucking LA.
Right, yeah.
But it's fucking trying so hard to be fucking New York.
Anna's boyfriend went back to New York, so they clearly...
They're still trying.
The filmmaker just got a big hard-on for New York, but somehow LA happened.
Whomever the director was, and who was that?
For the 2012 one, his name was Frank Calfon.
Well, Mr. Frank had such a hard on.
Actually, it looks like Frank.
Frank had such a hard on for fucking New York that he was like, well, we can do LA, but New York it up. and that's totally the feel of it, dude. Who the fuck takes a subway in LA?
Nobody.
When I saw it, I was like, they have the subway. That was the problem because New York is just ass to elbow with fucking people.
But I'm sorry, even if you believe that there's not that many people on the LA Metro, you get off at stations and shit, there's fucking security, dude.
And there's like, no way it's gonna be that clean either.
There's no way that shit is clean.
It was hospital sterile.
Yeah, that subway stop was like the Louvre, dude.
All of the ones I've seen, there's still construction. There's fucking stilts of shit and wood everywhere.
That's because they realized how fucking worthless it was.
Where were we going before we...
We're trying to get to the end. Okay, so he...
Skip to the end.
Anna fucking Sherlock Holmes her way into realizing he was a killer. And was like, you should leave. I just feel emotional. You should leave. And she gets a fucking knife and cuts him and stabs him through the hand. And her gay neighbor Martin comes in and gets subsequently fucked up.
Yeah, he gets fucked up real good.
That scene with Martin was my favorite part of the entire movie. Because I've never seen a human being more convincingly thrown through a fucking door.
That was cool.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Martin got what was coming to him.
Martin got fucked up.
You don't
up.
Yeah. Meddle, Martin.
He got a fucking butcher knife across his mouth. Yeah. Face.
A cleaver.
So they go with the whole survivor girl thing that most horror movies do, where you got the woman who is like, oh, fuck this, I'm not gonna take anymore, and proceeds to fight back, and doesn't get her, you know, very far necessarily.
No.
Which I have to say, in that last, which I personally, if you guys want to go ahead and talk in detail about the last scene of the film, go for it. I don't personally like to ruin it. But
it's
in that ending part with the whole car thing, if the car crash, so they go like, the car moves like 15 feet before hitting him, and then 10 more feet into a fucking wall.
And she goes fucking flying.
Hey, so if that car hits him,
flying through that windshield was fucking awesome.
It wasn't
like, the body just crumbled.
Huge gripe. Huge fucking gripe. If they're driving at that speed to eject somebody through the fucking windshield, how did he get hit by that car? And he's fucking not only alive, but able to walk away.
Yeah, he should be obliterated. If like that's the speeds we're talking about, yeah. Like,
although she looked amazingly gruesome when you find her after the car accident, holy fucking shit, that was amazing makeup and special effects.
And he's still trying to talk to her, like, I was just trying to love you.
I am going to talk about the final part because it's pretty much similar to what happens in the original.
Yeah, and if you're worried about spoilers, get fucked.
Yeah, get fucked.
I mean, we won't tell you
the battle between Anna and Frank, but Frank ultimately wins. Oh.
Oh. A little nod to the Holocaust there? Yeah,
there we go.
Sure.
That's what every movie needs. A little nod.
Just a little tip of the hat.
Frank eventually wins, and he gets Anna's scalp, and he takes it home and puts it on a mannequin in a wedding dress. And
I have fucking turned the corner. I hate this movie.
Thank you.
Okay.
I hate this fucking movie.
So we'll get to George's change.
You're on our side now.
So he puts the.
I've done this twice now in our podcast.
He's almost. I don't know how many of you played Metal Gear 3. So I'm going to appeal to a very small demographic here. There's a part in Metal Gear 3 where you die.
Is that the one with scaffolding and shit? And you're like going between.
They're always scaffolding. But you're walking, you're dead, and your ghost is walking through a river, and there's all these other ghosts walking towards you until you get to like this final point. And that's kind of what this reminded me of, is Frank has been hit by a car, he's been basically stabbed several times, and he's got the scalp of his beloved, and he's walking through his mannequin store into his bedroom, and he starts seeing all the women he's killed, and they're all talking to him saying, oh, Frankie, don't bring another girl here. None of their mouths are moving, right. And I thought that was kind of creepy. So he puts the scalp on a mannequin in a bridesmaid dress, or in a bride's dress, and apparently he's married to her now, and then all of the women he's killed he sees come back to life and eventually tear him to pieces, and he dies. And you find out that he winds up dying from his own injuries, you know, from the stab wounds.
Self-inflicted, yeah.
Well, they don't allude to that in this one. In the original, they think Frank dies from a self-inflicted stab wound to the stomach, but they see all his mannequins and they get grossed out,
right,
and they leave. And as they leave, it pans in on Frank's face, and Frank opens his eyes to basically show he's still alive. They don't do that in this one. They find Elijah Wood dead in a closet.
Yeah.
And I don't know which one I liked better, really. I liked the original because I like to think, I don't know, that he's still out there. Like, that he's still fucking crazy, and that they're just going to ignore it, and he's going to escape, he's going to keep killing. And then he could go on to kill the violent parents of his murderous, or of his fucking clown people sequel.
You know, I just think that that's a cheesy horror movie ploy, where it's like the opening of the eyes of the enemy. It's that one last little jolt before the credit roll, and that's all it's really meant to be. And it doesn't go any further
than
that.
It's the segue to the sequel.
Potentially, but in a film like Maniac, that's not really much of an option.
Right. So that's how
that's the movie ends.
Yeah.
So you like the ending?
I
liked him carrying around the like I like the fact that he like kind of he'd fall in love with this woman because it was like almost like a replacement for his mother, that whole Freudian thing, and then he proposes to the mannequin that represents her and carries her around. I liked that element of it, the whole like little I'm dead in the fucking closet, blah, whatever, take it or leave it.
Yeah, the fucking super friends unite, fucking...
That was cheesy because it was bordering on, like, becoming a supernatural thing.
Yeah.
Because it seemed like almost
schizophrenia.
Like, it was a schizophrenia, but it didn't really
but
play
it did,
that
yeah,
way.
Yeah, it didn't portray it that it way. Did, it didn't take me a minute. I was just like, wait, now they're active? No, they're moving?
It didn't play out very well because...
Just died.
The whole film, you have them, you know, at... I mean, and I guess it's a good sort of twist at the end, whatever, that they turn against him. But, you know, the whole film, you have them like, oh, Frankie,
actually do turn against him at the beginning because they shut off. Like, there's a point where he's talking to them and interacting with them, and then all of a sudden they're back to mannequin and they're not talking back to him. He's like, why are you guys doing this?
You're just like her.
And then he busts the lamp over all of them. And that's why he keeps going out to look for new ones, because he goes to collect these women, and none of them are filling the hole, so he needs to go.
Sadly, I think when you dig deeper into the film and try and see the underlying connections, they're not there.
Well, and the problem is that you have to do it. Like,
yeah, you have to try and make excuses for the film.
The film didn't necessarily, like, and God forbid we watch films where everything is spelled out for us. You know, that's also not fun. But there's moments when you have to be like, okay, this is what we're led to believe,
right?
And this is what now we can infer.
It's not like it's making you have to use your brain to connect the dots. It's that you're trying to make excuses for the film in order to make the dots connect.
You're reaching.
Yeah.
I felt like it was a little the especially the last like 3-4 minutes was very now it's Zombieland.
Yeah,
and I could have done without it. If we would have ended, let's see, maybe with him saying to the bride mannequin, "We'll always be together," and then end it right there.
Yeah,
it would have been much more powerful.
Absolutely.
And instead, we get to see there's this fucking SWAT team in his house, and how did the SWAT team find him? And why are like I was sitting there and I'm like.
It's like they planned out that final scene and not really figured out how to get you there, and then shoehorned it in.
In the original, the SWAT team winds up coming in because he tries to kill Anna in a cemetery when he tries to show her his mother's grave, but he's unsuccessful. He gets stabbed in the stomach. Anna escapes. So you're kind of led to believe that he gets turned in because of Anna.
So that makes
sense. So it doesn't really...
Yeah, it doesn't play right.
It doesn't... Yeah, exactly. Yeah. With the new one, it doesn't really make any sense.
Yeah.
Because... Up until this point, you have no indication that the police have any leads.
Yeah, because there's no survivors to find out, to tell anybody.
Right. Yeah, everybody dies.
Everybody dies.
So suddenly they're at the mannequin guy's store because he's creepy, and that's
just how that happens.
I'm turning a little bit.
Yeah. I'm telling you.
I didn't even watch the original, and I'm already like,
I came into this very favorable. In like,
I'm glad to corrupt your opinion of this film.
I don't know that corrupt, because I still...
All right, we got this.
I still did enjoy the film.
Good high fives.
I only give good high fives.
Exactly.
I really like that Elijah Wood seemed a lot more vulnerable. I like that you kind of empathize with the killer, that you're in the killer's shoes, and you feel a lot more... That he's not in control of what's going on. That he's really... fucked up emotionally, and you kind of feel bad for him a little bit, and you get the view of what it really feels like to kill somebody without killing somebody and having that guilt and that
murder simulator movie.
Right.
Yeah.
But
I think it had the potential to
in
do
the original it's not POV, so you're watching over the shoulder the whole time, and Frank Zito is just such a fucking disgusting unsavorable character that you
savorable
unsavorable.
That's a new word.
Booze and weed. Wait, I didn't say weed.
he was using his weed whacker. It's the hay fever.
Yeah, hay fever. Allergies. Shit. But he he's just such an unsavory character. You don't feel any empathy, and you're like, okay, yeah, you have mommy issues, but you're just a sick fuck.
And who doesn't have mommy issues? Come
right.
on, seriously.
But some of us feel bad about him, some of us don't. And I really like that the Elijah Wood performance made you feel a lot more vulnerable. As an actual horror movie,
if,
I think
more
that,
vulnerable in the shoes of the killer?
Right.
Okay.
And because every horror movie, you feel vulnerable in the shoes of the survivor, in the yeah. shoes of the victim. It's like, where is the killer hiding? What's around every corner? But in the 2012, it's like, am I going to be able to control myself? Am I going to kill this person?
I like that.
See, and that's why I like the film. Like, there's a lot of, as George has pointed out before, we can nitpick and we can tear
we can.
Shit to shreds. And I like them both. I definitely have more issues with the new one now that I've had.
Aww, that's sad.
I'm sorry.
It's like you brought this puppy home and all of a sudden the puppy has rabies.
Dude,
shit.
My puppy was zombie with a shotgun.
Yeah, your puppy.
I shit the bed.
Your puppy.
My
had
puppy
the mange,
shit
brother.
The bed, ate my shoes, and then right. ate my Nintendo DS.
You peed in your mouth.
Yeah. So, overall, if you haven't seen any Maniac, I would say watch it on its own. If you have seen the original, watch it, but try not to compare it too closely. There's okay. definitely changes, and they both have their highs and lows. I feel like the 1980s is much more horror-themed, and okay. the 2012 is a little more...
More thriller.
Thriller.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, I'll certainly have an update next time as to...
Yeah, watch the original. It's worth
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I'll watch it.
It goes down in my horror hall of fame.
I feel like a shitty horror fan because, like...
It's okay, I haven't seen half the things you guys talk about. It's totally
somebody cool. hadn't seen Nightmare on Elm Street until, like, 2 weeks ago.
I posted it on our Facebook, all right? So whatever.
He participates in the social media.
That's right.
I'm sorry. I don't want to trifle with no fucking social media.
Well, I don't understand these hashtags and these .coms.
So
.coms and .nets.
And the hashtags.
And the hashtags.
Personally, I think the film, standalone, if I had not seen the original, it's interesting, it's entertaining. The whole first-person perspective definitely takes over for a large portion of the film. And I think that was very interesting and very effective for a short amount of time. I would say that if I had not seen the original, I would enjoy this film and find it entertaining, but I still would have found a lot of problems with it. The original, absolutely love, recommend it to anybody who hasn't seen it. The new one, it's worth a watch.
Well, it's on Netflix Instant.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Everybody's got an hour and a half to waste.
But I do feel like the style of the film robbed Elijah Wood of an opportunity to turn in a really strong and really creepy performance. And whereas the original is very creepy and upsetting, the new one is just very gruesome. So they're both effective in their own rights, but I'll take the original, definitely, hands down.
Okay. Well, and not having seen the original film, final thoughts, Aubrey?
Had I not been expecting this to be the greatest movie ever...
I feel like
a total idiot
for like I could have...
We all know the battery
I went,
is the best
like, I
movie
went in. Yeah, I went in with too high expectations for it. And so, going in with a different mindset, I might have enjoyed it more. I did like the first-person point of view. I would have enjoyed not having it the entire time to get Elijah's acting.
But perhaps just for the kill scenes?
Just for the kill... Just to, like, maybe even just see him, like... have like an out-of-body experience or something, just to be able to look down on himself. Because everybody has those moments where they think they can, like, see themselves.
They
and how
did kind of give you that moment with the second... No, Lucy was the second kill.
Was the second kill.
But she had a mirror above her bed, so you
yeah.
got to see her
I know,
fillet
but that
him
was,
and then him start to strangle
but that
her.
Was still him looking in the mirror. Like, you still felt like him, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
I would have enjoyed seeing...
It was him looking at him.
Yeah. Yeah, so I enjoyed it. There were definite parts of the movie that I enjoyed a lot, but there were plot holes and things that I didn't.
Plot holes the size of fucking Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
I mean, it's I'll watch gory, murderous things all day, every day, so I'm not going to complain.
And George?
And Senior Flip Flopper?
What do you got to say, man?
Hey, hey, you can't say too much because you're on our side now.
Our side. Now you're calling it our side.
But he's flip flop on World War Z like twice already.
Yeah, so. Officially, I fucking hate it.
Yeah! Officially
hate going it. On record.
Yeah, officially fucking. No, I. Fuck, listen to my fucking voice. Good lord.
Oh, this. We're trying.
Okay. He thrusts his fists against the post and still insists he sees the ghost. What? No?
I'm lost.
You're a fucking asshole. You call yourself a horror fan.
I'm a horror fan.
Oh, okay, right. No, I initially, I really, really enjoyed it, but on, like, secondary and tertiary thoughts, I felt that it fell very short of the mark.
You gotta have to explain that
tertiary is three.
Okay.
Three. There's two of them. Three is tertiary. Secondary, tertiary, quadriary.
Quadriary.
And quintuary.
Quatriary to popular belief.
Sorry, I had to. I've waited 12 episodes. No, this is all going in. No, I.
That's what she said.
That was good. Okay, Matt Smith. I enjoyed it initially. On further examination, I'm hoping that the original is much better. And
updated next time.
I feel like a shitty horror fan having not seen the first one, and you know, it happens occasionally where
occasionally we have babies and stop.
Occasionally we don't watch Nightmare on Elm Street, and it just happens.
It's okay. I tend to not watch popular movies. Luckily, that Nightmare on Elm Street, I will remember and say, it delivered.
I don't watch popular movies, especially horror films.
I have listened to music on vinyl. I ride a fixie bike.
Hey, I don't have
I ride a geared bicycle, okay? Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And my vinyl collection is strong.
I can see it.
Strong.
Okay? And it's long. And well, let's get the friction on.
Fucking flush this turd because it's too late and I've got work in the morning.
Let's give one final cheers because it took us so long to get to another episode. Long delay.
It didn't take us that long. Yeah, it did. Okay,
yeah,
everybody. This is the Who Goes There podcast, episode 12, signing off. Matt Smith with the social network links, please.
Oh, right. WhoGoesThere.com, Facebook.com/WhoGoesThere.podcast. Follow us on Twitter at WhoGoesThere.pod. And find us on iTunes by not being a fucking idiot and searching Who Goes There podcast.
Isn't he amazing?
It's fabulous.
What about our Instagram, Matt?
We do have an Instagram now.
Do we? I found it's, you. Yes.
Who Goes There podcast.
Who Goes There podcast
on Instagram. So,
If you just randomly search them sometimes, it'll pop up.
Yeah, see pictures of the shit we're drinking and random shit we're watching, and if I find somebody that still has a pumpkin, maybe I'll take a picture of
it. I've got three in my garage.
There you go.
Uncarved.
Mine looks geriatric. It's kind of falling.
Get ready
it's all wrinkly.
Yeah. That's the best part. It looks like they're all decrepit.
Yep. So, signing off.
Joan Rivers.
Signing off, and you know, we had a really shitty October for horror movies.
We did.
It was fucking awful. We had nothing. It was nothing. It was devoid of anything really good. So, with that said, we'll see you at episode 13.
Which better be fucking amazing. I'm just telling you right now.
We're doing House of the Devil.
We may have Aubrey back. Who knows?
We could.
All right, so episode 13, House of the Devil coming up soon.
Maybe. You don't want to say.
We may lie. We have to say because then even if we don't do House of the Devil, that just leads into what we normally do of switching shit without any indication.
Totes and goats.
Let's do this.
All right, everybody. Have a good night.
That's I'm Michael Camacho.
I'm Jorge Gonzalez.
I'm not going to worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever gonna be alright, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll ever get out of this world alive.
And I'm Aubrey, and who goes there to you?
Oh, no! Did you tell her to do that?
Yes.
Damn it.
She's just awesome.
Oh, no cheers for you.
Yes, I love that.
I was wrong. You're not cooler than Amanda.
Yes, I am.
We could never get Amanda on this thing. She'd be so fucking embarrassed.
She would have no idea what to say.